Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. As was mentioned earlier in our worship, we'll be following Colossians chapter 2. We hear it once again. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. My dear brothers and sisters, there are countless ways for doing it. Some might use a fist pump. Others give high fives all around. You might see chest bumps or both hands way up in the air. There might be laughter and smiles, hugs and tears, phone calls, parties and parades. Champagne and toasts should probably be added as well. Yes, there are countless ways to celebrate victories. And at some time, we've probably seen one of them or more. We know that in all sports and even businesses, there are winners and losers. Those of us of a certain age, we can still never forget Wide World of Sports and the main introduction, which said, "Bringing you the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat," as the ski jumper basically tumbled and fell off the jump. Victory is sweet and worth rejoicing in. To the Olympic athlete who wins a medal, they will always be Olympic champions, even if they never participated in the activity again. You're always Super Bowl champions, World Series winners, NBA champions. Just pick the sport. When all is said and done, the titles last for all posterity. But you might say, "But I've never won at anything." To which I would tell you, no, rather, the Apostle Paul would tell you that you're wrong. For you are victorious in Jesus Christ. He has fought the battles and the wars for you and won. He has defeated your enemies and given you all the credit. The Colossian congregation was in many ways a normal congregation, which sadly would also mean it had its share of troubles and problems to be solved. False teachers and false prophets were robbing the members of the joys of victory that were theirs. These false teachers wanted the people to believe that Christ's victory was, well, not complete for them. But there was more for them to do. More for them to do before they could ever be confident of their salvation. So Paul offered them this little history, you might say biography, of their life. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Notice carefully, when you were dead in your sins. Fairly direct, isn't it? There's no wondering what is meant here. It's very clear that their sin had separated them from the love of God. They were in the indebtedness of sin, which is death, a punishment from which, let's be fair, there is no return. With every right to condemn and to convict to eternal fires of hell, God stepped in and saved them. He took them from death into life in Christ. He forgave them all their sins. Now hear that once again. He forgave them all their sins. You see, there's nothing lacking in this situation. Did God come up short and fail to do enough to do it all? Of course not. God made them alive in the Savior Jesus. He forgave them all their sins. There was nothing that Jesus did not accomplish for our salvation as well. As you noted, Paul used the pronoun us when he speaks of this. Satan would love to make you doubt that fact. Satan would love to steal from you the joy of Christ's victory. Satan would love to try and make you think that the battle is still going on, still needs to be fought. And he's fairly convincing too, isn't he? We know that when the horn blows or the whistle or the scores are made and there are no more innings, no more frames, no more periods, nor quarters, the game's over. And unless it's a sport that permits ties, there will be a winner. And that's it. You don't get a do-over. You don't have to worry, though, that maybe you'll have to play it all over again. No. So why would we let Satan so mess with our minds to think that there's more that we need to do to earn God's favor after Jesus Christ has won the battle for us? I think back just a couple of weeks ago when golfer Phil Mickelson won the PGA Championship at the age of 50. That age thing seems to be very important, but be it as it may. He went on to play the next week and didn't even qualify. Matter of fact, he missed the cut. And when interviewed after his first round that was over par, he said, well, he wasn't bothered that much. After all, he had won the PGA Championship. See what? That victory was his, completely. And it will always be his, completely. Just as Christ's victory for you will always be there for us, completely. Now, what happens when we pay too much attention to Satan and to his temptations? Do we forget that from death itself, Christ made us alive? Do we doubt the power and love of Jesus? See, you can't ever say that you've never won anything because Christ has fought the battles for you and won. That's a fact that can and will never change. A simple fact, a gift of God through faith. So might I ask, why do we go around like losers so often? Why is the joy of victory not always evident in our lives? I don't mean giving high fives for Jesus, but I do mean letting the joy of Christ's victory permeate our lives. Every day, looking for opportunities to live in the love of Christ as we serve one another. Taking the psalmist's attitude of, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Can anyone tell that you're a winner in Christ? Does life and troubles, losses and sadness, does it seem to suck the very joy of victory right out of you? Do you think back to your baptism where, by God's grace, you became his child? And if not, well, then maybe it's time for some attitude adjustments, you think? Attitude adjustments that remind us to put our hope and trust in God in all things and in all situations. To be reminded that Christ has given us the victory and defeated Satan completely. Don't rely on yourself for your happiness or for all of life's blessings. Fully rely on the one who not only created you and redeemed you, but has promised to help in any trouble and bless you in all circumstances. This doesn't mean that troubles aren't going to come our way. It doesn't mean that there'll be no tears that'll be shed. This doesn't mean that there'll be no heartache or pain, but it does mean that fully and completely relying on the Almighty, we can manage through the worst because we know the victory is ours. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Say those last words with me again. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Can't imagine saying those words with anything but confidence. Confidence concerning what happened outside the walls of Jerusalem on a hill called Golgotha. There, the cry went up for all to hear. It is finished. All our sins paid in full. The battle for our souls won by Jesus Christ. We were made free from the debt of our sin and from all that would separate us from God. And guess what? We're his, guaranteed. And we can sit back. We can watch the parade, right? We can watch the parade of victory, which is our parade, to the glory of Jesus Christ. Here is something that the Colossians had actually experienced in their time, and we in our time. After a successful battle, The winning king or general would lead a parade, it was called a triumph, into the city with all the spoils of war and with all the prisoners of war soon to become slaves. This parade would mark victory, success, power. Not unlike the parades of our days when cities will celebrate when their sports teams are successful and win the championships. Such triumphs and parades were signs of domination and power, about which Paul wrote, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Being disarmed means that the enemy has been rendered powerless and that there's nothing to fear, which is exactly where we're at. There is nothing to fear, since in Christ we have won the victory. He fought our battles and won. He defeated our enemies completely. We are His. We are victorious in Jesus. That's worth celebrating. That's worth living a life in joy, not in despair. That's worth sharing. That's worth letting our face know that we're winners and are victorious in Jesus Christ. Completely and always. Amen. And now may the joy that comes to you through our Savior Jesus Christ, who has won the battles for us all, may it keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we stand with Him victorious in heaven above. Amen.